Would you pray with me? Lord, this isn't how we would have it. The way we're meeting this Sunday, we would much rather be face to face. We would much rather be in a world that doesn't have chaos. We would much rather be in a world that isn't afraid of just using the words COVID-19 right now. Lord, this is exactly as you have designed it. This is exactly as you have planned it. Now we are asking, Lord, that you use it. We are asking at the end of this, we would be able to say as a people, oh Lord, my God, how great you are because of what you have done through this. Thank you for pressing us out of our comfort zone. Thank you for taking us beyond what we think we are capable of doing. Thank you that we are now forced to ask ourselves the questions, what does it mean to be the church outside of a normal Sunday service in the middle of this crisis? God, would you use us in a mighty way? Would you force us out into the world that even though we're talking about social distancing, Lord, we know you are near. Lord, would you let us be your presence to people around us in the midst of all this? May in the midst of it, we say it is well with our soul because you are in control. You are using this for your own glory and you are going to use us just the same. Lord, would you give us willing and broken hearts that are ready and humbled and set to be used by you. Lord, as Cliff comes and shares what you have given him, Lord, would you use his message? As we are feasting on your word, would we truly sit and examine ourselves in light of what he says? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Well, folks, I think it's pretty official. The church has left the building. We are no longer having our physical services, but by the grace of God, we have technology to be able to meet. So grateful for all of you joining us this morning. I'm glad that we can do this instead of just not meeting at all. I do miss all of you. I was really looking forward to drive-in church this morning. We decided to not do drive-in church, not because of the weather. I mean, we're willing to brave COVID-19. This weather is absolutely nothing compared to that. We decided that because the governor and the secretary of health constantly were saying, stay home, stay home, stay home, we couldn't in good conscience encourage you to disobey the directives of our governor. Because the scripture tells us that we need to submit to those authority, every human institution, because God put them there. I'm convinced that they are there, in this case, not just for our physical health, although that's kind of the picture that they've gotten. That's the mask underneath it all. I believe God is using this to do great spiritual good. Keep on our social media streams. Keep following our live streams. Keep coming to the fireside chats wherever you are on your mobile devices because I'm pretty sure God is continuing to grow and develop who we are, not just as Grace Baptist Church, but as his church in this country and in this world. This morning, we do have a special guest from the Gideons. And one of the things that they do is they take the word of God, and I won't share everything that they do, but they take it into places that it might not be available. That's exactly what we're doing this morning. I think it is no coincidence that God had it designed that we would be innovating. We would try to be creative. We would have some ways of getting his word out to places where it's going to be hard right now and have Cliff come and share what is on his heart. So Cliff, as you come forward, would you share what God has been using the Gideons to do and what he's going to use you this morning?
I was at Penn State's campus about 4 years ago. In the fall, we do a distribution on Penn State's campus, and we were able to distribute somewhere around 8,000 to 10,000 copies of the scriptures over the period of a day and to Penn State students. And a student was coming very quickly across College Avenue to where I was standing, and I held out a New Testament like this, hoping that he would take hold of that. But he was obviously in a hurry, and so to my surprise, as he approached me, he reached out and he took the New Testament from me, and he looked at me and he said, "You were here last year, and you gave me one of these. I had never read the New Testament before, but I read it, and I gave myself to Jesus Christ. And I'm in a hurry right now because I'm late for Bible study." Well, this young man is an evidence of what it says in Hebrews 4:12. that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of both joints and marrow, and it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Thank you, Pastor Jeffrey, for inviting the Gideons under these circumstances to have the opportunity to have the pulpit today and to share with you what God is doing through the Gideons in these days. So before I start here, I would like to also open with a word of prayer. Father, I do want to thank you for the privilege that it is to be co-laborers with you in the ministry of the gospel. And Father, I thank you today as we look into your word that we can rejoice in spite of the circumstances and knowing that you are a God who is still on the throne and that you are the God who has given us your word, the gospel, to be able to share with a hurting, a fearful world, especially today. And so, Lord, we want to commit this time to you in the precious name of Christ. Amen. So what I'd like to share with you today is because I don't always have the opportunity to have the pulpit time. Usually I get to share for just 5 or 10 minutes, a few statistics and things about the Gideons. But I'd like to share a little bit with you from God's Word. And I'd like you to take your scriptures or your phone or wherever you have that and turn to Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 12. And as you're getting there, you know, Romans 1:16, Paul says that it is the gospel that is the power of God for salvation. God's word is powerful. And we can rejoice in that today because indeed the good news of salvation we find today in the written word of God, which tells us of the living word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at Hebrews 4:12, Paul writes there that the word of God is living and active. I referred to this verse in speaking of this young man's testimony a few minutes ago. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of both soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, those descriptions of the Word of God are interesting. The Word of God is living. The word there is Zoe. It describes living things, things that are breathing. And you know, in Genesis, God tells us that He breathed life into Adam. He formed Adam out of the clay, and then He breathed life into him physically. And 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God, that it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It says the Word of God is breathed out by God. All Scripture is God-breathed. God breathed spiritual life into us as well. And what I'd like to share with you over these next few minutes is two things that are vitally important to us in the Gideon ministry and to you as well in your ministry here in the Tyrone area. Two things that are vitally important. The first thing is the life-giving power of the Word of God. It is living and it is active. The word there related to active is the word from which we get energy. It is power that is productive. It's not just power that overwhelms, although God's power does overwhelm us sometimes. But it is power that is productive, and it produces transformation in the lives of those who come in contact with God as the Spirit of God works in their lives. We have confidence in the life-giving power of the Word of God. And you know, if we didn't, the ministry of the Gideons would be a waste of time. Because the Bible is just not any book. We could take some other book and copies it handed out impact in the lives of people. But the Word of God is transforming. And because of that, we have confidence in its life-giving power. You know, we began distributing Bibles over 100 years ago, and we have thousands upon thousands of testimonies of people who have trusted Christ because they had access to it in a time of crisis. A man named Bernie Dimet, a businessman in Australia, he was an guy at the top of his profession. And yet, at a conference that he was attending, he was seriously considering going out on his fifth floor balcony and just jumping over the balcony and ending it all. But in his hotel room, there was a Bible that had been placed there by the Gideons. And that Bible continued to draw him. And as he began to open it and read it, he realized that he needed to press on. There was more to life. And God graciously led him to Christian friends who led him to into trusting Christ, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he is now the CEO of a group called Christianity Works in Australia. It's kind of the broadcasting network of Australia. You know, a young man of 17 years old was laying in a hospital bed in New Delhi, India. He had tried to kill himself, poisoning himself. And obviously he was unsuccessful, and he lay in this hospital bed. His mother was there with him, not knowing really what to do. A friend there had picked up the Bible that was there in the hospital. It had been put there by a Gideon, and brought the Bible to this young man's mom and opened it up and said, "Here, you should read to him from chapter 14. As she got to verse 19, she read, "Because I live, you also will live." And this man began to cry to Jesus Christ and say, "Help me to know that life." That was the first step, young Ravi Zacharias, to begin his journey following Jesus Christ. The Word of God is living and active. It is life-giving. It is transforming. Internationally, the Gideons have distributed 2.3 billion copies of scriptures since its beginning in 1908. The rate this year was 81 million copies, which is about 220,000 copies a day. The exciting thing to me is that 67 million of that 81 million were distributed internationally. That's over 80%. We print scriptures in 95 different languages. We have a Bible app, if I can pull that out, and I got to ask Pastor if they have app cards here. I'll have to check that. But these app cards are very useful. You can download the Gideon app, and you have access to parts of all of the scriptures in over 1,300 languages. It's a great tool, especially in Center County, where I am from, interacting with international students and having opportunities to share with them the scriptures in their own language. It's here that we, Gideon, see ourselves as an opportunity to be an extension of the local church. We have Gideon in over 200 countries and provinces, and we're able to go to places where missionaries can't go. We have Gideons that are in places where it's very dangerous to be a Christian, especially to share your faith. And we have men in there who, despite the fear of persecution, are sharing of God with those around them. We have Gideons here in County. There's three camps of Gideons, a group of Gideons in a particular area we call a camp, and three camps in Blair County, and they distribute Bibles to hotels, hospitals, schools, medical locations, assisted living facilities around the county. And so I'll tell you a little bit more about their activities here in just a minute. God is life-giving. It has life-giving power, and that leads to salvation. There's no other source for that life. It is the true life to those who believe, and it's the confidence that we have as Gideons and as believers in the life-giving power of the Word of God that's vitally important to the ministry that we seek to have in our local community. Well, another passage I'd like to point your attention to is in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah 53, we have the account of the suffering servant, the one who bears the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our own sins. Then in Isaiah 54, there is a great a passage of the restoration that God promises for the people of Israel. But then when you get to Isaiah 55, there is a great invitation, because not only is God the sacrifice of Lamb for restoration of the Jewish nation, but the sacrifice of the Lamb is for the world. And in Isaiah 55, we have a great invitation that God gives us in His Word here. I'm going to read a little bit of Isaiah 55 here. It begins, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies to David." And then he goes down 6, and he says, "Seek the Lord while he is found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." You know, we have confidence in the power, the life-giving power of the Word of God, but we also have the great assurance that invitation that God's word will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. And that's vitally important for us to know and understand as we seek to minister the truth of the gospel to those who are around us. You know, there was a young teenage girl whose family were all atheists. Her parents were atheists. They raised their children to be atheists. And during a family trip one weekend, she found herself alone in her hotel room for just a few minutes. Looking for something to do, she found a Bible that had been placed there by a Gideon, and she began to read it. And of course, when you read a book, you just open and start from the beginning, and started in Genesis 1 and thought, some pretty interesting ideas in this particular book. And as her parents were coming back to the room, she took that Bible and she kind of snuck it into her luggage there and managed to get it home, and at night she would read through from beginning to end in the Bible beneath her covers with her flashlight, as kids like to do when they hide in their room at night. By the time she reached the end of the Bible, she had given her life to Jesus Christ. She went off to college, grew in her faith, and had led many in her family to Jesus Christ. What a tremendous testimony here again of the Word of God being available to someone. A lady named Mary Kay Beard, when she was in her late teens, about 18 or 19, decided she wanted to leave home. She met a man after she left home, and after a very short dating relationship, she married this man, only to find out she really didn't know the guy, because the guy was a thief. He was a robber, a bank robber in particular, a hunted robber. But being a good wife and wanting to support her husband, she became the most skilled woman safecracker in the United States, perhaps in the world. She says in her testimony, "I wasn't captured by grace, I was captured by the FBI. She had the honor of being on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, and the FBI finally caught up to her. While she was in prison, she found in her cell a Bible that had been placed there by a Gideon, and she began to read it and became interested in what was there. She began to attend a Bible study led by a lady, the Gideon's auxiliary, and she gave her life to Christ. And ultimately, as she thought about those opportunities that there were for all these hurting women in the prison cell, she began to develop the concept for Angel Tree ministry and began that even from her prison cell. God's word is at work in this world. You know, right now is a time of quarantine. You know, practice social distancing, stay home, all those orders have that we need to honor and comply with at this point in time. And you might ask, question, well, how's that affecting the Gideon ministry? Well, you know how it's affecting your ministry and your time together as a church. Most of our ministry activities have been canceled or are halted at this point in time in the United States. There are a few places in the world where we're still doing things. Our prison ministry, hospital ministries, being able to distribute Bibles, all of that is at a stop at the moment. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you all today. A few of those presentations are going on. But the exciting thing to me is that while we're quarantined, the Word of God is not quarantined. You know, Paul sat in a death row cell shortly before his death and penned a letter to his dear disciple Timothy. And he wrote to Timothy and he said, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned." What a reality we have to be able to recognize that even though our ministry is limited, the word of God is not. The word of God is not quarantined. It is not imprisoned. And in fact, I can tell you the rest of that story of the young girl who was an atheist. She, late wife, her mother was sick in bed with cancer. And she, her mother had resisted the gospel for many, many years that as her daughter had tried to share. And one day she came alongside at the bed and she said, "Mom, I have things that I really want to share with you, but I need a Bible. Do you have a Bible here?" And she said, "Oh, you know, I do. If you look on that bookshelf, way up at the top up there, there's one up there. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it's there." And so she went up and she picked that Bible off the very top of the bookshelf and blew the dust off of it. And she realized it was the very Bible that she had taken from that hotel room as a young girl. And now she had the opportunity to open that Bible and to lead her mother to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that same book. God's word is not imprisoned. God's word is not quarantined, and it will do its work. What can you and I do in a time like this? Well, we can pray. We can pray that those copies of the scriptures that have been distributed, the testimony that you've had among people in your neighborhood, that God that during this time. There's fear, there is concern, and many people turn to the scriptures. You know, my wife has been working at cleaning out different closets while we go home, and you know, people are cleaning out their closets, I'm sure. Some are going to stumble across a Gideon Bible that had been given to them perhaps many years ago. Let's pray that God would use his word, that he would unleash the power of his word in our quarantine, because there are multitudes of people will not come to a church, but they will have access to the Word of God, and God can use that to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Pray for your local Gideons. I mentioned they do an annual distribution at Tyrone High School, their baccalaureate service. They're able, at this point, they have a schedule to distribute scriptures at Bellwood High School. They assist with State distribution. They distribute copies to nursing facilities, various kinds of medical facilities. When this quarantine is over, there'll be opportunities to do that, and hotels in the area. Pray for them that God would continue to give open doors. Schools are a place that are very difficult these days, and one of the resources that the Gideons have is called a life book. This is for high school students to be able to take into their schools and share with their fellow students. It's a study in the Gospel of John, and it's a very effective tool for being able to share the gospel even in a high school setting. And you can have the opportunity as well as you pray for the Gideons. You know, without prayer, we really need prayer for God to unleash his spirit and work in the lives of people as we distribute scriptures. And we have an opportunity called the Friends of Gideons. It's at friendsofgideons.org, and you can sign up for that, and you can get daily updates on prayer requests, prayer points for distributions that are going on around the world, testimonies of what God is doing, and it's It's really exciting to be able to see any of the testimonies that here, just thousands of thousands of testimonies of God's working in the lives of people. And so prayer is essential. And but another thing that we can do is still you to get funds for the purchase of Bibles. Gideons pay their own administrative expenses, and so when you purchase a copy of a New Testament like this, $1.25, a whole Bible is about $5. That all the money that you give basically goes to the printing distribution of those Bibles. But as far as Bible costs, things like that, Gideons pay all those costs themselves. So when you give, to just purchasing and printing and distributing or getting those Bibles to the local areas where they're going to be distributed. Another opportunity we have is through the card program, and this is an opportunity where you can honor someone. Sometimes you run into the question of what do you give someone who has pretty much everything and you really don't know what to do. Well, one opportunity you can give in recognition of that individual, in the memory of a loved one perhaps, you can use these Indian cards to send money to Indians and write down that you're giving this in honor of that person, to see the scriptures have an eternal impact on those around the world. A man named Elliot grew up in a Jewish family where the name of Jesus was prohibited from being spoken, even in cursing. He went to the military, got involved in a few other things, and got married and basically worked for a travel agency and was gone a lot, made a mess of his family. His two daughters ended up in prison. His wife had cancer, and she refused to even let him into the house when he came home from a traveling job on Christmas Eve. She wouldn't let him into the house. He went to a local hotel, angry, despairing of his life. And as he walked into that hotel, There was a Bible there that was open to on chapter 14. And he took that Bible. It was on top of a TV set. So you can tell this is a few years ago. And he threw that Bible across the room, and it stayed open to John 14. And after a couple of opportunities to get rid of that Bible, he picked it up and began to read in John 14, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives." Fell down on his knees and cried out to the Lord. He called up the pastor that he had kicked out of his house on several occasions. And that pastor, after midnight on Christmas morning, came and led that man to Christ. God graciously restored his family and his marriage. And he says this about the testimony: "Somebody gave the $5 so that some Gideon could put that Bible in that room, so on that night he could read about the peace that Jesus Christ could give him." Somebody gave that $5. Somewhere in heaven, we're going to meet those people. We're going to find out who gave that $5 for that, or any of the others who have come to Christ in similar circumstances. So where do Bibles end up? Some at our Penn State distribution, we know some of them end up in the trash, but we know there are janitors at Penn State who pick them out of the trash and hand them out later to people. We know that people in jail used to tear out the little thin pages of the New Testaments and roll up their cigarettes and then finally decide they were just reading what they were rolling in their cigarettes and come to the knowledge of Christ, or finding a Bible in a trash can or out on a wet road as they're out running in the morning. The testimonies are endless of how God has used his word. One place that was significant on April 12th in 1945, late in the day, Vice President Truman was called to the White House urgently. And he quickly and quietly entered the White House from one of the back entrances. He was told President Roosevelt had died and that he needed to be sworn in as the next president of the United States. Well, they needed a Bible. And finally, the head usher in the White House grabbed the only Bible he could find. And it was a Gideon, a Bible placed there by a Gideon that was in one of the desks. And he pulled it out, and President Truman gave his oath of office on a Bible that had been placed there by Gideons. So we can pray, we can give, but also the Gideons can become a member of the Gideons. If you're a businessman or a professional man and you would like to learn more about the joy of putting the Word of God into the hands of people here in Blair County, I would encourage you to see me or contact one of your Gideons in the area. The Gideons began really in 1899 with two Christian businessmen who met in a hotel room. And if you can imagine, it's kind of a foreign concept today, but two different men coming from different places ending up having to sleep in the same hotel room. Probably not something that would happen today. But God probably used that. These two Christian men began to encourage one another, had devotions together, and decided that they would continue to communicate on how they could encourage other Christian businessmen who are traveling as they do. And after about 10 years, they began to, with the help of others, Samuel and John Nicholson, began the task of distributing Bibles to hotels in different places around the country. And after the next 3 years, there were about 7,000 businessmen who had joined to become deacons. And today, there's 162,000 Christian businessmen, professionals, and about 94,000 ladies in the auxiliary around the world in over 200 countries. But you know, there's room for more. Our goal for distribution, as I said last year, was 81 million. Our goal this year is 100 million, and that's a rate of about 275,000 a day. And we need more hands. And if God lays on your heart to desire to become a Gideon, I would encourage you to get a hold of Pastor, and I'm sure he can put you in contact with those who would be able to help you do that. There was a man named Heriberto in the Philippines received a copy of the New Testament. He read it, gave his life to Christ, became a pastor. He had five sons. Five of his sons became pastors. Those five sons had 15 grandsons, and all of those 15 sons became pastors. And in the Philippines today, there are 600 churches that can trace their roots to Heriberto and that New Testament that he was given. We are quarantined, the Word of God is not. It is the life-giving power of God for salvation. It is a life-giving invitation for everyone to return to God through Jesus Christ. And he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. If you're listening today and you've never trusted Christ, I would encourage you to trust Christ today. Get a hold of a Bible and read in the New Testament what God has done. Begin in the Gospel of John and see what Jesus Christ really is. Find a friend, a believer, and talk to them about your desire and your need to trust Christ as your Savior, the one who will save you from the sins. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if you're grateful that even though the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, Lord. If you're a believer, be alert for the opportunities that God gives you and pray for the life-giving ministry of the Word of God to work in the hearts of people in your community. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Cliff.
At this point, I think we're off the radio. I just want to say a couple things. Thank you, Cliff, for coming. Thank you for sharing. And I hope you took to heart what he said. You know, Jesus quotes Scripture in the middle of his temptation. He has been starving for 40 days. And Satan says, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus quotes a Scripture. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, that's what we have in this book. That's what we have in the Bible. And to quote Spurgeon, there's enough dust on some of our Bibles to write damnation on the cover. To update it, there's so little data used by the Bible app on your phone that it doesn't even show up on your screen time report every week. let me encourage you to dig in, to get the Gideon Bible app, get the YouVersion Bible app, whatever you can. Get into the Word of God. It'll get into you, and it will change. See, no matter what, hand sanitizer, Clorox spray, Lysol, all that, that cannot save you. Ultimately, we are all going to die to something, right? But there's only one thing that can save you, and that's what we hear about in the Word of God, the Savior, Jesus Christ. We are all going to face it, and without the Word of God, we would be left hopeless in a world of chaos. Can you imagine people that are around the world right now panicked that don't have the Word of God that Cliff and the Gideons and Christians around the globe are trying to spread out there? Christian, do everything you can to get into the Word of God and to spread the Word of God. And if you're here just listening in because you want to see what church is about, you want to see what grace is about, you want to see what's going on, well, this is it. This is what we're about, the Bible, because it tells us about God and it shows us His heart. Let me encourage you to dig into it, maybe for the first time, to dig into it and to take it seriously as a conversation with Him. He wants to speak to you. And now that we don't have all the other distractions, you have no excuse. Pray with me. God, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for this moment that we have to be still and to know you are God. Lord, I pray that we would dig into your word, that we would study it, that we would seek out your heart in every page. We would, some of us, answer the call to become a Gideon, that some would answer the call to become a missionary, some would answer the call to become a pastor, some would answer the call to become an elder or a deacon or a worship leader or a teacher or whatever you have called us to be. Lord, that we would be your servant and we would be ready to do it. That we would be striving to send out your word to those who have never heard, to those who have never read, to those who have never received. Because your word is what we survive on. Not our food, not our protective measures. Lord, we live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. May we listen, may we hear, and then may we declare it to those around us. Thank you for everybody listening in, Lord, for watching. God, I pray that you would be with them, keep them safe, be with our governing officials as they try to sort the wisest course of action. Be with our country, so many that are scared, so many that are panicked, whether it's this COVID-19, the crisis, or even the economy. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, may we have your peace. May we know that you are still in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. Tune in tonight, 7 o'clock, for Fireside Chat. See you later.